Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wines. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to all your listeners.
And what's happening in the wonderful world of organic wine, my friend?
It's nice weather here today, Peter. Very nice. It's been cool over the nights, but not like when you've long since had a fire. Well, last week it got down to 4 or 5 degrees again, but she's up in the 10 or 12 at night now, so we're not lighting a fire anymore, Peter. And the days have been up around the high 20s, going to be in the low 30s today, and was yesterday. So beautiful weather.
You can sit underneath the fogs or underneath the silk tree?
Under the silk tree, Peter. It's the leaves are starting to give very nice shade under the silk tree. It never feels quite as hot here as it does on the coast, of course, Peter, because we're a little bit drier. We don't have the humidity. We're only about, probably as the crow flies, I'd be guessing, 70 kilometers or something from the coast. If you could fly to Newcastle, Peter, you'd be there in no time. And so it doesn't feel warm even. Yesterday it was, as I said, in the low 30s, and it didn't really feel warm. I remember thinking to myself, when you're in a high humidity area, 30 degrees is very hot weather.
Yes, yes.
You go to the tropics, the Caribbean or any of the tropics in the southern hemisphere here, 30 degrees Celsius just about kills you because it comes with 95% humidity.
That's right. You walk out and, of course, you're dripping all over the footpath and everything. It's terrible.
It is. And here you don't even notice it because of the fact that it's low humidity. So, yeah, it's beautiful weather, but for wine tasting, Peter, and we're always looking forward to having visitors here. We're quite busy over the weekend again, so I think everybody's getting out and around. And we welcome people here. The gardens and everything are starting to look very, very nice.
Well, I'm pleased that you're keeping up the landscaping there. In fact, there's a young fellow, I believe, that does all that for you.
Yes, one of the guys that works in the vineyard here. We usually, unfortunately, grab the guy that's got the less experience in the vineyard to work on the garden. Every Friday, pretty much, we cut the grass and do the edges and look after the weeds and things like that. Weeds are a real problem on an organic vineyard, Peter, because we just don't spray poisons like everybody else does.
That's right, yeah.
And I get half my exercise by digging out 100 weeds every other day.
Oh, boy.
you got to keep at it. And, we've done a pretty good job. We're just about, for the 2 or 3 days we eradicate weeds, but it's amazing. Weeds actually are a very, very important part of healthy soil because they grow before the grass does. And because of the roots and everything else, they aerate the soil. So they soften it up and they make it ready for, a better use crop. Not
sure.
The grass is a better use, but for farmers, when they look out and they see their field is completely weeded, they poison, of course, before they put the crop in, which, is not the practice, not the way we would do
it
here.
It's very counterproductive, my friend.
But those weeds are fulfilling an important part. They're aerating the soil and getting it ready for higher levels of crop, with higher protein. Although some of the weeds are quite high in protein. The old saltbush even out there, the animals eat it because it's got a fairly good protein level in it. So. Yep, so that's it, Peter. We're hoping that we're going to have more visitors come and see us, but they can always call us, contact us on the telephone, Peter, or go onto the website at cellarwines.com.au, mix and match down to a 9-pack and free delivery Australia-wide.
Yeah, mate, that is quite a thing because a lot of people say to me, in areas like Western Australia, I bet it'll cost me a fortune. I said, no, it won't. There's free delivery, so that's quite a bonus.
It is. And we had a lovely young couple from Western Australia here last weekend. And I was telling them a story. Excuse me, two of my most interesting friends of a seller that belong to the program we have, where we ship a couple of packs a year and give a super extra discount. And of course, you get to choose your wines in our packs, and they're 9 packs, which is a bit different. But two of our most interesting names come from Western Australia, because we have a member over there. One member's name is Wyatt Buck. And never forget his name, because he sounds like he should be living in Arizona or somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And we have another member there called, his name is Aaron Baum, but he, his credit card, he works in a bank, actually. I think he's a bank manager there, but we tried for years to get his credit card working, and I deleted his membership, I put him back in, and the software just would not accept him. So I renamed him from Aaron Baum to Baron Calm, and that's what he's known as now, and it works.
Yeah, it must be. I believe that in the fight against thievery and all that, they put up certain words.
Yeah,
And I'd say, unfortunately, he's got the wrong one.
He did. Look, we did everything. Could not make it work. The software would not accept him. And so, anyway, we changed his name, Peter, and now it does.
Oh, I'm pleased about that. That's good news. You were talking about weeds before and grass. And a dear lady at a club that I attend quite regularly, she said, "I'm very worried about all the sheep. They don't have enough grass to eat." And I said, "Darling, you know why, don't you?" She said, "No." I said, "There's too many people smoking it."
Yeah, talking about smoking grass, one of the articles I read last week, Peter, it's been well known that, and of course it's quite a few mothers have been using marijuana for pregnancy back pains and a few other things, but they found some time back, actually, that you're affecting your child.
Sure,
and your child, when they get into the teenage years, have much more sensitive pleasure centers. And so that's not a particularly good trait to have if you're a teenager. And they actually published a paper this week. They've come up with a treatment to overcome it. So you get a problem from taking drugs, and then you take a drug to overcome the problem from, the problem you got from drugs. So that's kind of the society we live in now, Peter.
Well, unfortunately, every medication or drug, if you want to say, does have some sort of side effects.
Yes, it does. And that's why a lot of people, including ourselves here, they go to herbal treatment, because long-term drug use is just not good for you. Even drugs, we've talked about one last week, Peter, the drug for cancer that we talked about. 50% of the people get high blood pressure. There was one just recently about tamoxifen and those types of drugs for people with estrogen-fed breast cancer, and about the problems, long-term problems that you have from it. So it's if you can find something that works for you, especially when it comes to chronic pain, if you can find something that works for you, better to get off the the drugs, as much as you can, but certainly don't do it without talking to your doctor, that's for sure.
Yes, it's always a good idea to have a chat to your GP, and vitamin supplements also help, but again, talk to your GP, because you don't want any, contraindicating against your medication, so you've got to be careful.
You do, and we've done a couple of programs ourselves, Peter, which have shown very few vitamin supplements are effective. And we're talking mostly not about the, antioxidants. I think antioxidant compounds probably more effective than vitamins. Excuse me. I think they showed in the last study we talked about that vitamins are neutral at best. Most have negative consequences. I think the only one that was neutral or positive was vitamin C, Peter. And I think there was one other. I can't recall which one it was. But your body just doesn't absorb them anyway. And so better to say, you know, look, I'm vitamin E deficient or whatever I am, and find a diet that has, you know, what you need. You know, eat more oysters or whatever it is.
<You know? laughs> I'm staying away from that one.
But, yeah, so it's a tricky business. I did find some interesting things this week. They've just published a study. This came out of Duke University Medical Center in the United States. And they've discovered that cartilage in the human body repairs itself. And that might be why when you, you know, really have a bad back injury, which I had L4-5 years and years ago. I still have a little twinge now and again, but your cartilage actually has what they call the salamander effect. If a salamander loses a limb, of course, it regrows it. And they've been able to determine this by a process they've developed, and they can tell how old the cartilage is in the humans. And what they found in addition was that the cartilage in your ankles is quite young. The cartilage in your knees is a little older, and the cartilage in your hip is much older. And so when you have an injury, for example, like an ankle injury, twist your ankle or something, it recovers much more quickly. It regrows the cartilage, reconstitutes itself, and it's less so in the knee and much less so in the hip. So you people with hip injuries more likely to have osteoporosis, all sorts of other problems, because the cartilage doesn't regrow as effectively. So it was an interesting study, because they feel now that once they understand what triggers all this, that they're going to be able to use it to fix joint problems. Instead of putting in new ones, they're going to be able to stimulate the joint, regenerating cartilage at a much faster rate than it currently does. Mm. And possibly maybe regrowing a limb like the salamander does, if we can get the right trigger. So that was an interesting article. It was published just October 9th from the Duke Medical Center. So,
yeah, well, you know, that little twinge in the back that you had, there was nothing really serious there. It was just your credit card in your wallet giving you a warning.
Could be. And that'd be a constant warning, Peter.
Tell me about it.
So, anyway, another interesting one this week, and that is that children that are born with a heavier birth weight are linked to much higher levels of allergies, particularly eczema and food allergies. In fact, it's quite serious. They've determined, and this came out of actually University of Adelaide in Australia, each kilogram increase in birth weight means a 44% increase in the risk that a child will have food allergies, and a 17% increase in risk that they'll have eczema. So that's a serious thing, Peter. For mothers, they need to give birth to a healthy child, but you know, you don't want your child being too overweight when he's born, because he's going to have future childhood issues. So
yeah, I think I've gone the other way, where I was only 4 pounds 10 ounces, but my list of allergies at that point was unbelievable. And I found, you know, eating all that, the body, I don't know what it does, but you get over it, so to speak. I don't know what the technical term of that would be, but it worked for me anyway, so it was interesting.
Yeah, well, you might be on the other side of the curve, Peter.
Yeah. Don't say yeah. that. I don't wear dresses.
Yeah, so anyways, there's so many interesting things happening again. You know, one that was in the news last week, this came out of the U.S. Army Research Lab, is something, because we follow it here, because, as you know, my dear wife Barbara is allergic to sulfur drugs. She can't take penicillins and all those types of things.
That's right.
She gets anaphylactic shock and all sorts of other things. So for people such as Barbara, it's a very, very serious problem when even simple infections, you know, simple bacterial problems, they can't cure them. And the army, we talked about them before, these phages, and they got a bacteriophage, a virus that infects and replicates within bacteria, killing the bacteria. Using, it's a different method, obviously, than what antibiotics does, and they can target specific strains to kill them, and they find it very useful. The army developed it because when they send troops into jungle areas and areas where they're likely to catch all sorts of things. But the big one, of course, is the E. coli. E. coli, a lot of people now got chronic infections in their system. Depends where it is, if it's in their kidneys or wherever it is, and the antibiotics don't work for them, especially if they're sensitive to them. But these bacteriophages can be engineered to kill any strain of E. coli. So a lot of people that are having these types of problems, going in for treatments all the time, we got to follow this, Peter, and see when it gets to the medical profession, because anything that can help antibiotics or take the place of antibiotics in killing antibiotic-resistant bugs is very important, because that's, according to the United Nations, that's a couple of years ago, they announced that was the single largest problem facing the future of mankind, and that's drug-resistant bugs.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if they come up with something, because sooner or later we're going to have to.
Yes, you're right, Peter. It's like, you know, that the analogy is kind of like bananas, you know. Of course, bananas are clones. All those big Chiquita bananas, nice big yellow bananas, are clones. We have natural bananas everywhere, but they discovered in South America a little grove of those bananas, which are completely different than any other banana. And every banana in the world comes as a clone from those few little banana plants that they found in South America. Therefore, because they don't reproduce, they don't have any genetic capability of genetic variation. And they've been predicting the end of bananas forever, because once they get a disease, and of course we have this black blight, which we don't have in Australia, but if you buy a banana in South America or Central America, it's half black when you buy it, and within 2 days it's totally black, because it's still okay to eat for a day or two, but they've all got this black blight. And we're the only country that doesn't have it. But if you search Google, they've been predicting the end of bananas for a long time, because there's no genetic diversity, Peter. And these drug-resistant, bacteria infections and things, they're a serious issue, because there's no way to get them out of your body, and eventually, they wear people down, particularly people with poor health and older people. So we really do need some way to fight it.
For sure. Let's hope they come up with something concrete.
Yeah, even if it is developed for military purposes, Peter.
they always say, a brick in time.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll get out of there. Mate,
yeah.
Would you like to feature any of your wines? We've been through a few of them, and they're really good.
Yes. Well, Peter, we did win a medal, by the way. We haven't been in a show for a very long time. Our new Reserve Shiraz won a medal in open class here in the Hunter Valley in this wine show, in the annual wine show here in the Hunter. So that was a nice achievement. People come, and that's the nice thing about it. When they come to taste wines, Peter, they buy one of this and two of that and one of those. If they came in and they all bought the same wine, Peter, we'd be a little worried. But they generally, you know, seem to like all the wines or most of the wines, depending upon their red or white or sweet or not sweet drinkers. But they nearly always choose a selection of wines, which is a very good sign for somebody that's producing wine.
I agree. There's nothing worse than sort of tasting something and you think, is there anywhere I can put this? And that's not in your mouth. That's really sad, but that doesn't happen with wine from a cellar.
Well, that's right, Peter. And the other thing, of course, is there's nothing worse than tasting a wine and then having this terrible chemical aftertaste.
No, yuck.
And thinking to yourself, God, that tasted awful. It's according to Peter, it's got 15 carcinogens and endocrine disruptors in it and pesticides at 230 times the level of drinking water. Mm-hmm. And you think to yourself, geez, why did I do that? Tastes terrible and it's not good for me.
Some people just like punishment, don't they?
Yes, they do, Peter, but, you know, it's like everything else, I guess. Moderation, poison yourself a little, poison yourself a lot. But if you do, and not just wine, but if you try to find food that hasn't been sprayed, then you're going to go a long way towards having better health.
That's right, and that's why you see the farmer's market.
Exactly. You go there and ask the guy if he sprayed the fruits and vegetables, because according to the tests that have been done, and many tests have been done on this, that, you know, you can have a third to half less antioxidants in food that's been sprayed, because that when they spray it, it drives down the plant's immune system, and that's antioxidants. So not only are you getting all these poisons, you're getting less nutrition. You go in, you buy these. They look nice, but they just don't have the food value.
You know, and there's one thing, you know, I really like. Pardon me. I've got your disease now. one thing I really like is the fact that there are three ways that people can get a cellar wine, and they don't even have to leave the house.
Exactly, Peter. They can go online, or they can call us. They can go in their local bottle shop and, you know.
Four ways.
Okay, what are the other three, Peter?
Well, they can go online. They can telephone you. They can email you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yes.
Yes, right. And no carrier pigeon ever flew in.
No. Yeah, we send it out, as you know, we send it out by courier, and generally in the Sydney Basin area, you get it the next day, so no excuse not to have a nice bottle of wine in your rack. And with Christmas coming up, Peter, we're going to have a few Christmas specials. Of course, we do a super job for our friends of a cellar. Normally, our friends of a cellar get, you know, we have a friend of a cellar price, which is 15% off, and our pack wines, of course, are an extra 10, so we give 25% off. But for Christmas, to reward all our friends of a cellar, Peter, we give a much larger discount. Last year, we gave 35 to 45% off on the Christmas wines for our members that have been with us, you know, for at least one previous pack. So,
That's terrific.
So it was a good deal, and a lot of people appreciate it at that time of the year. You're going to buy some wine anyway. Why not make it healthy?
True. You know, I couldn't think of a better reason.
Well, exactly, Peter. When you entertain people, you know, and they go home, the next day they feel terrible, they got a headache or whatever. Yeah. You serve organic wine, they get up the next day and they feel great, and they think, gee, that was a great time we had last night.
Uh-huh. Mate, lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you next week, mate.
You sure will. Thanks very much, Jeff.